Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse 16 through 18. And there are a few verses we're going to be looking at here. We're also going to be in Colossians and then also in 1 John. But we will park here in Ephesians for just a moment. We'll read this and we'll pray. And then we will turn to Colossians after that. Ephesians chapter 5, and starting in verse 16, reading through verse 18, it says this, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, I do pray that you would just bless this message, Lord, and I pray that I would only say the things that you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would just be listening for your voice tonight, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that we would just allow you to do a work in our lives, and Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just have free course, Lord, in our lives tonight. And Lord, I do pray that, Lord, once again, that anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. And Lord, I do pray that you do a work in our lives that only you can do, and ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to Colossians as well, over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. But here in Ephesians, just hold your hand there in Colossians for just a moment. Here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, notice it says redeeming the time. Now, oftentimes we will read this verse when we are thinking about there's just a little bit of time that we have left, and the trumpet could sound any day, and praise the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to going to heaven, amen, and hopefully you are as well. But here it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now here, of course, as you see there on the top of your handout there tonight, I want to preach you a message that I've entitled this, Know and Pursue God's Will. This is, of course, one of the sermons in the series of the Steps to Living Victoriously. And as we read this verse in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, notice there, it's not saying, well, you've got plenty of time and just go out and eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. No, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about redeeming the time and doing the will of God. If you look there in verse 17, notice it says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now there in verse 16, when it's talking about redeeming the time because the days are evil, it doesn't say, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding, and do everything that you can for yourself on this world, on this earth. That's not what it says. It says, redeem the time, and then it says this, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, notice it says this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Turn also over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Notice in verse 17 in 1 John chapter 2, it says this, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You see, in every one of those passages that we just read, it talks about the will of God. And there are many people, and there's many believers today, that live their life, and they say things like this, I just don't know what the will of God is. Well, we're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to be talking about how if we desire to live victoriously, if we desire to live a victorious Christian life, one that the Holy Spirit is leading, one that we are striving in our everyday life to follow the Lord and follow His will, if we are doing that, then we can live victoriously, but we are to know and pursue God's will. Well, what is God's will? We're going to talk about that. You know, every parent who is a believer and wants what's best for their children will say this to their children at one time or maybe many times. They'll say this: pray for God's will for your life. They may say, hey, you need to know what God's will is and follow God's will. And those are good things to encourage our children to do. And when we talk to our children, of course, Sterling, Landon, and Declan, oftentimes they will say, well, when I grow up, I want to be this. Well, I want to be this. I want to be a professional baseball player or a police officer or something like that. And it's always interesting to listen to them say, well, this is what I want to be when I get older. But oftentimes, of course, we as parents will say things such as, well, anything is fine as long as it is God's will. I think it's a good thing, and I try to encourage the young people here to follow God's will. I think it's a great thing for a young man or a young woman to go to Bible college because it's a time early in life in which they can be submersed in the teaching of God's Word. They can be away at college or through a Bible institute, either way, and those are good things to do. And we should always encourage our young people to be in the will of God. But let me ask you this, what about ourselves? You see, many times we'll talk to young people and say, make sure you're in the will of God, but then we're just living our life. And you may be in the will of God. We may be living for God. This may be what God has called us to do, but there's many believers who get saved and they're working their career and they're going through their job, they're raising their family, all of those things, and they just think, well, this must be God's will for my life. Have you prayed what God's will is for your life? We can know and pursue what God's will is. You see, many people have just lost sight of God's will for their life. It's good to encourage people to follow God's will, but we can never forget the simple fact that God has a will for every life. He has a purpose. He has a plan. It's important for each and every one of us, as adults and young people, to continually see God's will for our life. When a young person gets saved, oftentimes we encourage them to seek the will of God. But when a family gets saved, oftentimes we'll go after the children as far as seek the will of God. But the parents are not told that they need to be seeking the will of God. Why is that? Well, because they're just in a different stage of life. No. Doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, God has a purpose for us. And are we living in God's will? How many more families would be serving the Lord together in the ministry if dad and mom would follow God's will like they try to teach their kids to follow God's will? See, before we get into the points of the message tonight, I'd like to take just a few moments and just lay some groundwork, if you will. And first of all, notice that God has a will for everyone. He has a will for everyone. At every stage, God's will, it does not start when a person gets saved. No, God's will starts when a person is conceived, when that life is there. Why? Because God's will is for every man to be saved. We know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's will for the unsaved. He wants them to be saved. There's going to be some, they choose to reject Him, but that decision to reject Christ will have eternal consequences. If you die without Christ, you spend eternity in hell. And each and every one of us, we should know that we're saved. We should know that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Christ showed us some things about the will of God. And I believe each and every one of us, if I was to say, if you're a Christian tonight, then raise your hand. All of us hopefully would raise our hand tonight. If you're not, then get saved, amen. And join the family of God. But if we are saved here tonight, if we are Christians, then we are to be Christ-like. We're to be followers of Christ. And we should see that Christ taught us some things. He taught us submission. As Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was about to be betrayed. He would soon be crucified. And one of the 12 that were with Him is the one that's going to betray Him with a kiss just after He says this here. And He says this, not my will,
but thine be done. He was willing to submit to the will of the Father.
Now, he was willing to submit even though he knew exactly what was coming. He knew he was going to be beat. He knew that he was going to have that crown of thorns pressed into his forehead. He knew that he was going to be crucified on a cross. He knew that he was going to be pierced in the side. He knew that they were going to give him vinegar to drink. He knew all of these things. Yet he said, this is God's will for my life, and I'm going to submit to it. He showed us submission. Also, he showed us obedience to God's will. In Hebrews, we read that Christ said this, "Lo, I come to do thy will." That's the will of the Father. He was obedient to his heavenly Father in all things. And also, he showed us the price of doing the will of the Father. You know, Christ suffered. He showed us with his life that the will of God is not always easy, but it's always right. It's not always going to be the path that we that our flesh wants to walk. No, on the contrary, it's the path that's going to be less traveled. It's going to be the one that we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulties. We're going to go through persecution and all of those things. And though it's not easy, Christ did it. He did it for us. And we need to be willing to follow God's will. There's a price to pay. Many people think that living as a Christian is going to be a walk in the park. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." The Apostle Paul was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was imprisoned. And that doesn't sound like a walk in the park to me. It wasn't easy for Christ, but there was a price that had to be paid. Christ said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Christ came to earth, and Christ revealed the Father to all men. He suffered for all. And the Bible says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, we like when it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then we read here, and the same word "shall" is used for "shall suffer persecution." We say, "I don't want any part of that." And if we desire to live the victorious Christian life, there's going to be some persecution that comes. There's going to be some trials. But there is no greater joy than knowing that you're in the middle of God's will. Know and pursue God's will. So as we consider all of that, as we consider that God has a will for everyone, that Christ showed us that he was submissive, and also that he was obeying his Father there, and that there was a price to be paid, and Christ paid that price for us. All of those things we see as believers, if we truly want revival, if we truly desire to live godly lives, we want to live victoriously, then we must know and pursue the will of God. And by doing that, the Bible says that we shall suffer persecution. But we have a hope. As we read in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." And then he also said, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You see, that's who we're following. That is the will of God. We're going to go through persecution as believers. The devil does not want us to go out there and witness. The devil does not want us to live a life for God. He does not want us to be a testimony in our community. He doesn't want us to be the one in our family that's always bringing up Christ and trying to get others saved. The devil doesn't want us to do those things. But guess what? It's God's will for our life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You're going to go through these things, but be of good cheer." So as we're in the will of God, as we are trying to know the will of God and pursue the will of God and all of those things, whenever the devil throws us a curveball and he tries to kick our feet out from under us, all of those things, spiritually speaking, we can know that we can be of good cheer. Because Christ said that he has overcome the world. So first of all, know and pursue God's will. First of all, tonight, notice we're going to discuss here accepting God's will, accepting God's will. That's Romans number 1 there on your handout there. And that's important for us as individuals to realize and accept that God has a will for me, and He has a will for you. And if we do not accept that God has a will for us, then it's no one's fault but our own. You know, we like to blame things on other people. Something goes wrong in our life, and we like to say, well, it's because this person over here, they didn't treat me right, or this person over here is what they said to me, and I wouldn't have thrown this fit if that person over there wouldn't have treated me that way, and this wouldn't have happened if this person would have done what they were supposed to do, and all of those things. We like to play the blame game. But if we refuse to accept that God has a will for us, it's our own fault, because God has a will for everyone. I have a will for my children. I'm sure that you do as well, no matter what they think about our will for them. We still have a will for them. They may act in a way that denies what we would like them to do, and all of those things. They may rebel against that, but guess what? It doesn't change what our will is for them. It doesn't change that we truly believe that this is what would be best for them. We want our children to live pure lives. God's will for His children is to live pure lives as well. I want my children to be helpful. I want them to be ones that help others and serve God. And guess what? That's my will for my children. I'm sure it's your will for your children as well. It's what we would like to see. I would like to see my children be helpful and serving people and all of those things. Well, guess what? That's what God's will is for His children as well. You see, it's easy for us to apply these simple truths to our children and say, hey, this is how you should be. You should live a clean life and live a pure life, and you should be helpful and always look for opportunities to serve and all of those things. But when it comes to what God's will for us is, we tend to look over those things. We try to overcomplicate what God's will is for our life. Many times people waste their life going after all sorts of things and not doing the basic will of God for each and every one of us. I want to see my children succeed and live abundantly. Well, guess what? That's what God desires for His children as well. He wants what's best for us. You see how simple it truly is. We'll often hear this. Well, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, God's will is for us to obey His word and follow His leading. It's as easy as that. That's what God's will is for you, and that's what God's will is for me. God's will is for us to accept what He asks us to do rather than rebelling against it. That's what God's will is. His will is for us to obey like Isaiah did when God spoke and Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's what God wants us to be like. That's the heart attitude that we are to have as believers. That's what God's will is for us. But many times, because we don't like where God's will is going to lead us, so we may say, I don't want to be a missionary. We end up, instead of being like Isaiah, we end up being like Jonah. And we go the opposite direction. Jonah was serving God before he ran away from God. You see, he was doing things right. But there came a point where he said, I'm not following God's will anymore. I'm doing my will. And each and every one of us are one decision away from making that same mistake. You see, God's word is there to lead us and to guide us, to instruct us. But often, just like Jonah, who when God said, go this way, he went the opposite way. It wasn't because God's will was unclear. It's because Jonah was not willing to accept that as God's will for his life. Jonah had the attitude of this, send someone else. I don't want to do that. Use someone else. Well, they don't deserve the gospel. They don't deserve to be saved. Don't you know what they've done? Don't you know how many people the Ninevites have killed? God, haven't you seen their gate with the heads of the kings that are literally nailed to their gates? When everybody walks through, they can see how mighty the Ninevites are. Haven't you seen how wicked they are? They don't deserve that, and that's not God's will for my life. That's what Jonah was living like.
but that didn't change the fact of what God's will was for his life.
Praise the Lord. Jonah came to his senses. Amen. He had to get into the belly of a great fish. Still had issues after that and all of those things. And we would like to say, well, I would never do that.
But if we're not actively pursuing God's will and not actively asking the Lord to lead us and guide us every day, we're living like Jonah. Because God has a will for us today. He's got something for us to do tomorrow.
Are we willing to accept that? Notice there in the next blank there, and number one, God desires for our lives to be exemplary. We are to be Christ-like. A believer should be obeying the Word of God. But many times what we do is this, is we say, okay, so if I go to the Ten Commandments, well, I'm doing pretty good in all of those areas. Yeah, that's until we get to the one where it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That is until we get to the one that says, thou shalt not covet. Yeah, we're doing good as long as we're only looking at the ones that are the easy ones in our life. A believer should not be looking for areas to rebel against God's will. A believer should be asking the Lord to lead me and to guide me. And Lord, if there's anything that needs to be taken out of my life, if there's anything that needs to be sharpened in my life, then do that. One who desires to live the victorious Christian life and one who desires to live exemplary there, that's how they're going to live. They're going to be looking at this as their guidebook, not as a book of suggestions. Are we looking for God's will in our life? Notice also, God desires for us to use our talents for Him. There are people in this room and listening on the live stream from every walk of life. When I was working at Chick-fil-A, we had this video that we would show to our new hires, and the video was entitled this, Every Life Has a Story. And the reason I put that video out is because Chick-fil-A, of course, in the fast food industry, or as we like to call it, quick service, amen, what it was is Chick-fil-A was the one that were trying to take the helm, if you will, in customer service and trying to not only make our people be nice to the customer and make sure that we're not yelling at them and all of those things and lashing back at them, but letting the cashiers know right from the very beginning that person coming in there, guess what? They have a story. They went through a whole list of people, and one was this person here. They came in, and they're happy that day because after battling cancer, the doctor just told them at their appointment a half hour ago that they're cancer-free. And then there was another one that says, this young girl that walks in, and she lost both of her parents in a car accident last month, and now she's living with a foster parent and all of those things. And it was trying to teach everyone that watched that everyone has a different story. And that's true with each and every one of us as well. But can I tell you this? We all have different things we can do for God, too. Many people think, well, I'm not a preacher, so I can't serve God. No, that's not true. People say, well, I can't play the piano, or I can't play this instrument, or I'm not one that can get up in front of people and speak, or I can't teach a class, or any of those things. That's just not who I am. We can all do something for Christ. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. We all have different backgrounds, different training, and all kinds of things that make us different. But one thing is true, that we all have talents that can and should be used for God. Too often, we'll say things like, well, I just don't know what God's will is for me. But yet God has given each and every one of us a skill that we're not using for Him. You see, God's will is not something that needs to be overcomplicated. Yes, there's going to be ways that God leads you. And I believe that the Lord led me and my family here. This is God's will for my life and for my family. That's where God wanted us to be. And God will guide and He will lead us in all of those different things. But it all has to start with us letting God know that everything that I have, every talent, and every penny that I have to my name, God, you use everything that I have, everything that you've given to me, use it for your glory. See, that's part of knowing and pursuing God's will. Why would God use us for something that we would consider to be greater if we're not serving Him with our abilities now? A skill that God has given to us that we are not using for Him is a direct violation of God's will for our lives, because God gave us those talents to be used for Him. There are many people who are wasting their life away in laziness because they are unwilling to accept and pursue the will of God. I'm in no way saying tonight that we should not pray about what God's will is and all of those things and what God would have us to do. But what I'm saying is we'll never see revival, or we'll never live the victorious Christian life if we are content with living our spiritual life on the couch. But that's where many believers are. Lazy, spiritually speaking. They say, well, if I ask God to show me His will, then He may tell me something that I don't want to do. Yeah, He may. But it's His will for you. Christ, in His humanity, did not want to die on the cross. But He was willing to do that. Why? Because it was the will of the Father. And He said, not my will, but thine be done. We must see that God's will for us is spelled out in His Word. And as we obey that, as we obey these things, He will guide us into other things. You see, until we come to the realization that God has a will for every individual, we will fail to see that God has a will for us. Individually, God's will is for a person to be saved, to be scripturally baptized, to join a local New Testament church in word and deed, and to serve through that church. Following the Bible is God's plan for you and God's plan for me. He has a plan, but we must accept that plan. And second of all, notice we must submit to God's will. Submit to God's will. First, it was accepting God's will. Second of all, we must submit to God's will. Now, I think all of us would agree that when a person submits to something, there's going to be ones who are cheerleaders for them. There's going to be ones that are happy for them. But then there's also going to be ones who are their enemies. The ones who want to drag them down. Everyone has an opinion, and it's always about what you should be doing, or what you should do next, or what you should have done then, and all of those things. But submitting to the will of God is what each and every one of us should be doing, not the will of man. You know, the devil, he has every tool in his toolbox, and he will use every single one of those to keep you from submitting to the will of God. He's going to pull out the, if you submit to the will of God, then you're going to live broke for the rest of your life because, those ones that are in the ministry, they just don't make any money. Or you may say, you're going to lose your career. How are you going to have health insurance? How are you going to provide for your family if you submit to the will of God? Well, your friends are going to leave you. Your friends are going to make fun of you, and you're not going to have any friends, and you're going to be lonely, and all of those things. You see, that's what the devil tries to do to us when we try to fulfill the will of God in our life. And that's for every single one of us. We get up to go to church, and guess what? The devil wants to throw a wrench in it, doesn't he? The devil wants to say, well, you're just tired today, aren't you? See, God's will for us is to obey His Word. The devil's will for us is to disobey His Word. Or are we going to allow Satan to stop us from knowing and pursuing God's will? Notice some things that submission does for us. First of all, there, notice submission brings understanding of God's Word. You know, when a person is submitting to God and yielding to Him, it changes the way they read the Bible. When a person is actively serving the Lord, they're coming to church, they're faithful to church, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're out soul winning, and they are doing everything that they know to do, everything that God has directed them to do. They're striving to become more and more like Christ, and all of those things are submitting to God's will as best as they know how. It changes the way they read God's Word. Because God gives understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ones who are rebelling against God are not discerning people. You know, D.L. Moody did not even make it through elementary school, yet men of renown would listen to Moody speak, and they were amazed at the depth of the speech. Moody did not have eloquent lips. He was not one that when you sat there and you listened to him, he used all of these large words and these and all of these things. That's not who Moody was. He did not have a crisp grammar, but he had an understanding of the Word of God. In that understanding of the Word of God, all of these men that arguably so were smarter than him, these ones that were more educated, these ones that had done so many more things, they had all of the book knowledge and all of those things, they were listening to D.L. Moody. Why? Because he was submitting to God's will for his life, and God gave him understanding of the Scriptures. And that can be true for each and every one of us. Many people read through the Bible and they may read a passage, and when they get to the end of the passage, they say, well, I have no idea what that is saying. Well, first of all, because they didn't ask the Lord to help them before they read, Lord, teach me something from your word. But second of all, because they are most likely living in some area of disobedience. However small that area may be, it's still disobedience. But submitting to God's will bring understanding of God's Word. Also, submission brings happiness in worship. I believe that when we worship God, it should come from a joyful heart. We read through the Psalms about how you should be joyful when you're singing and what that does to us and all of those truths that we read. But we should be joyful because of who we are worshiping and what He has done for us. And that home that we have prepared for us in heaven. Ones who are happy in worship are ones who are submitting to the will of God. Ones who do not find happiness in worshiping God. Ones who do not enjoy going to church. Ones who are constantly complaining and saying things like, well, I don't know why we do that, or I don't know why we're not doing this. And, well, I can think of a different way that should be done. And this over here would be a better idea. And all of those things, we can go on and on and on. Those people are often rebelling against God in the same way they're rebelling against man. Because they're not asking the Lord to lead them in His will. Our desire as believers should be to fulfill the will of God for our lives. That should be our desire. But the ones who are not desiring that, the ones that are not living for God, they're not happy in worship because they're not submitting to God and His Word. Also, submission brings peace to the heart. The Bible says the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I think we could all say that we desire to have peace in our lives. Each and every one of us. None of us would say, well, you know what, I just love to live in turmoil. We wouldn't say that. No, we want peace. We want that peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, there is no greater peace than knowing that you're in the middle of the will of God. Why, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on that boat with His disciples, why was He able to sleep through that storm? Because He had peace. Because He is peace. And we can say, well, yeah, He is peace, and His disciples were on the ship and all of those things. And we could say, well, if I was in their shoes, well, I would have known that Jesus Christ was going to deliver us from the storm and all of those things. But yet when we look at the way that we've came through storms, the way that we have went against God in the middle of storms, I think we've proven ourselves to be wrong. You see, we can have that peace that passes all understanding, but it's knowing that we're in the will of God. I think of a missionary wife to Honduras one time. I heard her telling a story of her family. They were saying, why would you go over there? Because it's unsafe and all of those things. There's people over there that are looking to kill missionaries. And I don't know why you would take your family over there. And she said this. She said, because I know that I'm safer in the will of God than I am here where I think it's safe.
in my hometown. See, she had the peace about where they were called to go. Why? Because she knew it was the will of God for her life. Submission brings peace to the heart.
As we go through struggles and difficulties, there's going to be times where we feel like giving up. And I'd like to encourage us tonight to keep going, keep fighting, keep submitting for God, keep submitting to God, keep working for God. Because even though times are tough, by submitting to God, that's how we will have the peace in our hearts that only God can give.
And that peace comes from submitting to God and realizing He's going to help us through those difficulties. And that peace will help us be a testimony to others. Also, submission brings spiritual success to your life.
I think we'd all say that, well, I would like to be successful, but this success that we're talking about here is success in the eyes of Christ. That's what we're talking about tonight. And if we desire to live victoriously, then we must see that submitting to God and His Word is the only way to live spiritually successful. We sing the song, "Let Him Have His Way with Thee." Think about that. To men, Paul seemed like a failure while he was in prison. Men couldn't understand why Peter, James, and John would leave their nets and their boats and all of these things to follow Christ. Men could not understand why that woman would pour that expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. Men do not understand why a man would uproot his family and move halfway around the world to preach the Bible to lost souls. You see, men do not understand that, but in God's eyes, the one who submits to God is spiritually successful. Because he is living the life that is led by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Apostle Paul, he was talking about the things that God was able to do through his life, through submitting to God's will. And the Apostle Paul said this, and of course I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that because I've submitted to God, because I've been allowing God to lead my life, my testimony has been in the prisons, my testimony has been in towns, my testimony has been in the palaces. See, it had been everywhere. Was he without difficulty? No, on the contrary. Everywhere he went, there was difficulty. He was stoned and left for dead. Imprisoned many times. But yet he knew that God's will is what was best. He was willing to pursue that. Or are we willing to know and pursue God's will? And then lastly, can I notice fulfilling God's will? You see, this is where we should live every single day of our life. Living our life by fulfilling the will of God in our individual life. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, what did he say to Christ after Christ spoke? "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That was immediately upon salvation. Immediately. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" But there's many unbelievers who have been saved for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long it may be, that have never asked God that question. They've never said, "God, show me what your will is. Lord, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I will do. If it is uprooting my family and going somewhere to serve you there to be a light to those people, that's your will. That's what I'm willing to do. If your will is for me to stay here and just continue to serve through my local church, that's what I'll do. But Lord, I want to be in your will." When the last time we asked God for that?
See, if we want to live the victorious Christian life, we must know what God's will is for us. And this is God's will. He will continue to guide us. He'll continue to direct us. We must be following His will. Saul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And that's where the rubber meets the road.
We can know that God has a purpose for us, and we can say with our lips, well, I submitted to God, and everyone around us may think that we are fulfilling God's will for our life, but if our everyday life is not filled with the will of God and pursuing the will of God, then we are not doing what God's will is for our life. You see, you don't take a day off of God's will. You get up in the morning and ask the Lord, Lord, guide and direct me through this day. Not just, Lord, I pray that you have your will with my life, and that's just where we leave it. We never ask him again. No, it's an everyday decision.
Our prayer each day should be, Lord, what would I have me to do?
Understand and fulfilling God's will does not mean that we know everything. Fulfilling God's will is living with a heart attitude that says, Lord, as you guide my steps, I'll follow.
But too often our life goes exactly like this.
Lord, I want to do your will, and I want to follow you on whatever steps you take me in.
We do good for a while, and
we understand that God has a purpose for us, and we're submitting to that. Things are going great.
But then we get a job offer.
And our attitude goes from, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Our attitude goes to this, well, I can still serve God while I'm doing this. Well, I know that it's not going to help my family spiritually, but I'll be okay. You see, we go from saying, God, whatever your will is, to saying, God, as long as your will matches up with what I want to do.
That's how our life goes too often. The will was understood, but it wasn't fulfilled. Lord, help us to fulfill your will. If we desire to live victoriously, we must know and pursue the will of God. And it doesn't matter what stage of life we're at.
Whether we're a young person or whether we are older, maybe retired or anything like that, God's will is still active in your life. As long as we have breath in our lungs, God has something for us to do. But are we willing to do that?
Whatever it is, are we willing to know and pursue God's will? Because that's the only way that we can live the victorious Christian life, is trusting God to lead us and knowing that He's going to help us as we follow His will. Let's pray.